Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Good morning. Good to see you. You're so welcome. If we haven't met before, my name's Andy. I'm very self-conscious about my fly, actually. I'm not even joking. I'm okay. Thank you, wife. If you're a guest or a visitor, we don't normally talk about those sorts of things every Sunday, but I'm blaming you, Chris. You're so welcome. We're really glad that you're here. If you're watching online, if you've got the dreaded lurgy, we hope you feel better soon, and you're really, really welcome too. I love that Kit brought trucks this week. He's like, that guy talks a long time. I'm bringing trucks this Sunday. If you do have little ones in here, can I just encourage you to feel totally at ease? Jesus said, let the little children come to me. It's hard for people like me to tell them to be quiet then, you know. So we're very comfortable with a bit of family noise. We believe the church should be family. And so if you do have little people in here, please relax. I'm fine with that. Any of you bring a Bible with you this week? Nope. So, over the next 9 weeks, we're going to be in the book of Joshua. I want to really encourage you to bring a paper Bible with you, not a distraction device, also known as a phone. We're going to be studying this book together over the next 9 weeks or so. And if you don't have a Bible, it would be our joy to give you one. You'll see some on the seats around you. Please just take it home. One of my mates used to nick 3 a week and just kept them in his boot because he would meet people and ask if they had Bibles. And when they said no, he was like, I have one. And his wife used to get across him. And he said, I tell her all the time, you would love that, Andy. Wouldn't you love that? I said, yes, absolutely. And then I was like, but I don't think you should tell your wife that I'm agreeing with you. But anyway, if you have a Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have one with you, you can grab one on a seat. It's page 144. We're going to read starting in verse 6 today. Let me pray for us as we come to God's word together. Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks and that when you speak, things change. And Lord, we just humbly say to you today, we need your voice. We need your voice in our lives. We need your voice in this land. We need your voice in the world. So come. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Joshua 1, starting in verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Amen. This is like a bit of a crazy moment for the people of Israel. If you were with us last week when we began this conversation, you will know that this is a threshold moment for a group of people that have been waiting for something for centuries. Like, not for kind of a week or two or a month or two or even a year or two. For centuries, these people have been longing for God to give them a home, a land that they can call their own. And here they are on the threshold of that moment. And God is speaking to Joshua, get ready, be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. For years, they've been waiting for this moment. I wonder if you were on the threshold of something new, some kind of destiny that God was calling you into, how would you feel about it? We talked about this last week. Most of us, I think we imagine we would be so full of vision and courage and faith. And yet Joshua finds himself in this moment in the opposite emotional state. Like, you don't tell someone who's full of courage and feeling really excited, don't be afraid. You don't say, hey, take courage. There's a rainbow outside. Have a look at it. The people that we say, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, be strong, are the people that feel the opposite. People that feel like they're just hanging on. I think we should give Kit a microphone and just hear what he wants to say. I think it would be good for us. Joshua, in this moment, is full of fear. He's really discouraged. He's terrified. And God speaks to him, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Get ready. You're about to take these people to the place that they've dreamed of for centuries. I wonder how many of you consider yourselves last-minute packers. Like, if you're going on holiday, just wave at me if you're, like, in the, like, last-minute packing camp. Like, that is totally me. Like, if I'm going somewhere on a Friday, I'm grabbing whatever I can find 10 minutes before I'm supposed to leave the house, and I throw it in a bag and off we go. Dana is kind of the opposite of that. We were going to Portugal several years ago in September, and I think it was about March time. She started showing me pictures of, like, summer clothes. Being like, what do you think about this? I'm like, it's flipping March and it's freezing. What are you doing? She says, we're going to Portugal in September. We got to get ready. You know what always happens when we go places and I realize I've forgotten things? I blame Dana. It's terrible, isn't it? That's what I totally do. And then she reminds me that if I spent more time thinking about packing, I maybe wouldn't forget things. Do you know whenever I don't pack like that? The night before I'm going climbing. Like, if I'm in Scotland and I'm planning on climbing some crazy mountain or some big route the next day, I have a ritual, really, is the only way I could describe it the night before. First thing I'll do is I'll check the weather. I'll make sure I'm really aware of exactly what the weather's going to do. Then the next thing I'll do is I'll read as much as I can about the particular route that I'm going to climb, and then I will lay everything out on the floor, and I'll make sure I have absolutely everything I need, and I know exactly where it's going to be in my bag. There is absolutely nothing worse than being halfway up a cliff in the Scottish Highlands in a gale and a blizzard, really realizing that you need something, and it's in your car, or worse, back at home. You see, the reality is the more important the journey, the more important the preparation for us. The more important the journey is, the more important the moments of preparation are. We are, as a society, on the edge of something new. Over the next 6 months, things will change. And restrictions will go away and life will look a little bit differently. But what I am if I'm honest, maybe a little bit fearful of, is that for those of us who follow Jesus and for the churches, that we will just slip back into whatever shape of life that everyone else is going to without paying attention to what Jesus is actually saying to us and how we can occupy this new space. This is a season, moment, time for us to prepare. And the more important the journey, the more important the preparation for all of us. But what does that actually look like for us? There is a process to preparation. What does it look like for us, for followers of Jesus, to prepare in this season? Verse 6, Joshua 1, it says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Actually, the whole first half of this chapter is a record of an encounter that Joshua had with God and what God said to him in that encounter. Preparation always begins with encounter. Throughout the history of the people of God, every time God was about to do something with someone, it began with him meeting with them. He meets with them. And he says some things. Joshua was a man who cultivated a life of intimacy and encounter with God. This wasn't maybe a new experience for him. He was very used to what meeting with God was actually like. Earlier in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 11, we read this, that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one would speak to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. You see, what happened when the people of Israel made camp, Moses would set up a tent outside the camp, and that tent was literally called the tent of meeting. And if anyone at any time was wondering anything from God, they would go out of their tent, out of the camp, into the tent of meeting, and there they would seek God. And every so often, Moses would have something that he needed to find out from God or seek God about. Something was going on, maybe with the people, maybe where they were going next, maybe what was happening, and he would go and seek God himself. But rather than just getting on his knees in the morning, he would go out through the camp into this particular tent of meeting. And whenever that happened, all of the people would know. And when Moses went into the tent to meet with God, all of the people would come onto the thresholds of their tent. And while Moses was meeting with God, the scriptures say that the people stood at the entrances of their own tents and they worshipped God while he was meeting with him. And a pillar of cloud would descend on the entrance to the tent. And Moses would meet with God in the tent. He'd find out whatever he had to find out, and then he would come back out to tell the people. But what we've just read is Joshua would stay behind. Joshua would linger. Joshua would stay in the tent. We don't have any record of what he was doing, but it's quite clear that there was something about the presence of God that Joshua saturated himself in. Joshua cultivated a life of encounter. He cultivated it. He prioritized it. He spent time there. I wonder, when was the last time you had a life-altering encounter with God? I'm not talking about the discipline of a quiet time, of some moments in the morning, perhaps, with the scriptures or in prayer, as much as we are for those things. I love that. I'm talking about those moments when we know we've met with God, and our lives will never be the same. I spent some time this week with a dear friend who experienced grief that I can't quite even wrap my head around in the last couple of years. And while they were walking through that journey, he had an encounter with God that he will never be the same again from. And I was meeting with him because we were planning an anniversary celebration service. And I said, "What is it that you want me to say at this service?" And he said, "I just want them to know that he's real." He's talking about Jesus. "Whatever else, I just need these people to know that Jesus is real." He had an encounter with God that changed his life radically. Radically. How about you? When was the last time We had a moment where we knew we would never be the same again. We're supposed to have those moments. They're really, really important. Over the last couple of years, I think lots of us have found ourselves drifting or a bit tired. Preparation begins with encounter. Friends, we need to encounter God again freshly. It's partly why we're doing, well, actually, it's the only reason why we're doing what we're doing on Wednesday night. Corporately, we want to create some space for us as a community to say our only agenda is Jesus. We need him. We need to meet with him. We need to hear from him. How do we do that? How do we cultivate that kind of life? There are two things, I think, that are really, really important for us to develop, sustain a life of encounter with God. Hunger and openness. Hunger and openness. You see, spiritual health and vibrancy is measured not by how full we are, it's measured by how hungry we are. The first warning sign for me in my own life as I walk with Jesus that things aren't quite right is my hunger for him dims. Hunger is a sign of spiritual health. How hungry are you? How desperate are we? There's a reason Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God," because the kingdom belongs to those who know that they need it. The kingdom of God belongs to those of us who know that we need it, regardless of our bank balance or our physical health or our fill in the blank. The kingdom of God belongs to those who know that they need it. Let me ask you again, how hungry are you? How desperate are we for God? Hunger opens us, and it's when we are desperate that we lay down our preconceived ideas. It's hunger that says, "God, I don't care how you come, I just need you to come. I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care who's watching. I just need you to come." Joshua has just been given the longing of generations. I can't imagine what that would feel like on someone's shoulders. And I love the honesty of the Bible. I love that the Bible is not full of superhuman, faith-filled people. It's full of ordinary people responding to the things of God in exactly the same way as you or I would. I mean, all of us would like to think if God said, "I'm about to do something new and you're going to lead it," all of us would like to think that we'd be like, "Yes, I'm in." The reality is all of us would be like, "No thanks, pick someone else. Is there anyone else? I don't want to be the one who messes this up. I don't want to be the one that carries all of this. I don't want to be responsible." This is the human condition. We all suffer from that all the time. Like we love pointing out where other people feel in their responsibilities. Let me get a wee bit controversial right now. Imagine trying to be the prime minister for the last couple of years. I mean, we've all stood on that pedestal of, "He should resign, what a joke, blah, 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 blah." You have no idea. You have no idea what it feels like to try to lead a nation through something none of us have ever seen before. I'm shocking myself right now. I never thought I'd be apologetic for Boris Johnson. When God speaks to us about the things that God has for us, if we are hearing him correctly, the only response we have is fear. Because it costs us everything. Of course, it's worth everything. There's no greater adventure for us to spend our lives on. But I'm a wee bit fed up of a gospel that sounds like, "Come to Jesus so that your dreams can come true." come to Jesus so that his life can flow out of us to all those around us who so desperately need us and it. But we're kidding ourselves if we think the shape of that life is not a cross. It's why it costs everything. It's why God says, you're going to need courage. You're going to need to be strong. Three times, verse 6, 7, and 9, the Lord commands Joshua to be courageous. Quite clearly, because he's terrified. I know many of us are desperate to hear God speak, but are we ready to hear what he has to say? Because those two things are not the same. We do not get to tell God what he gets to say to us. Last Sunday night, the Archbishop of Canterbury, speaking in St. Peter's Cathedral on the Falls Road, said this. He said, God coming to us in Jesus meant that he became part of conflict and scarring and struggle and pain. And so the reconciler must be someone who shares in pain. Reconciliation means risk, and it means sacrifice. I think it's fair to say following Jesus means risk and it means sacrifice. The upward call of God in Christ is a call to a life of risk and a life of sacrifice, not a life of religious routine. We need our routines. We need spiritual discipline. But we are kidding ourselves if we think that's where it begins and ends. Life in Christ is a life of risk and a life of sacrifice. How are you doing? This is why we need courage. Because the new ground that we're stepping into with Jesus is, in fact, very, very old ground. Ground soaked with the blood of martyrs. Lives that look like Jesus. Where we look at a lost and broken and hopeless world and say, I'm prepared to pay whatever it costs. I'm prepared to be awkward and uncomfortable. I'm prepared to look silly and stupid. Whatever it costs, I'm in. Lives that mirror the risk and the sacrifice of Jesus as we move toward the pain and injustice of the world around us. And not just in a conceptual or in an ideological way, but in the mud and the mess of our ordinary lives, learning to forgive those who've wronged us, learning to pray for those in pain around us, rediscovering our boldness to declare that there is a God who sees and a God who loves, and his name is Jesus. But it all begins. It has to begin. It has to begin in a place of encounter. Because if it doesn't begin in a place of encounter, all we get is legalism. All we get is what you should be doing. All we get is more guilt and more shame and more I should have or I could have or I wish I. It's when we begin an encounter that real life and freedom says, I have no other choice but to follow this man called Jesus and to give up everything for his sake. Preparation begins with encounter, growing in our hunger and our openness to God. But look at verse 7. Be careful, God says to Joshua, to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Courage begins with encounter, but it is sustained by obedience. Is sustained by obedience. One of the main reasons we stop hearing from God is we stop being prepared to obey him. This is the first thing that turns off the voice of God in our lives. Whoops, I don't want to hear you talk to me about that. I've been hurt by that person for years. I don't want to go there. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And if you do whatever I say, you'll be successful. Success is not your dreams coming true. Success in the kingdom of God is obedience. That's where it begins and where it ends. It's the whole game. We are so consumed with outcome or what it looks like. I have so many times walked through journeys and stories with people where they felt like God was speaking to them about something, they stepped into that thing, and then their lives got really hard and really complicated. And it's like, Andy, what's going on? Like, God spoke to me about this, and I said yes to it, and now things are difficult. It's why you need strength. It's why you need courage, and why you need to focus on nothing else other than obedience. We all run ahead of him all the time. God's speaking to me about this, and when it happens, it will look like that. Whenever I was 18, God started to speak to me about Ireland and church leadership and church planting. Never in a million years did I think I'd be living in the Dromara Hills leading a church in Lisburn. It's not quite how I thought it would look. And yet, it's everything that he said. Success in the kingdom is obedience. When was the last time you obeyed God? When was the last time? He said something to you that felt risky, felt unusual, felt like, oh no. The more important the journey, the more important the preparation, and it is time for us to get ready to cultivate a desperation to meet with God with a readiness to do whatever he says. If there is any new ground for us as a church to step into, that's what I'm longing for. That we would be a people hungry for God, open for him to do whatever he wants to do, and ready to obey no matter what it costs us. I'm going to invite James and Hannah to come back up as we get ready to respond. I wonder how hungry you are. I wonder how open you are. I wonder how ready to obey you are. One of the best prayers we can pray sometimes is, God, make me hungry. A confession of, I'm aware. I'm so aware that I'm here, but I need to be more hungry. I'd love, I'm going to do some specific things that we can respond to, but I'd love you to prioritize Wednesday night. I'd love you to come out. Some of you, the idea of like maybe extended worship and ministry is a bit like, I don't know what that means, and I'm not really sure what that's going to look like. Maybe a step for you is to say, none of that matters. I'm just going to be there. I'm going to present myself before God to say, I'm hungry. I'm here. I want you. I wonder, could we prioritize Wednesday night and just show up ready to say, God, we want you. We need you. This world wants you, or at least it definitely needs you. If you're able to stand, I want to pray specifically this morning for any of you who in the last year or in the next year are stepping into new things, new families and weddings and marriages, new homes, new jobs, new babies, new endeavors. If you are stepping into or have recently stepped into something new, would you just close your eyes and just lift your hands up? And my prayer for you is that you would need all of the strength and courage of heaven. Not because what you're doing is so scary right now and how you look at it, but because God is so all over it in ways that you haven't even made yourself aware of yet. That this new thing that you have begun, or this new thing that you're about to begin, would require strength from heaven and courage. So come, Holy Spirit, come right now and fall upon my friends freshly. Father, I pray, just as the sounds of new life in the natural happen all around us, I pray in our spirits right now we would begin to hear the sound of new life, of new courage, of new strength. Dana just shared a word with me there that I feel like is for the room, and there's two kind of parts to it, but one is like a sense that some of you are carrying what's been like you've just felt like it's a lost cause. I don't know if it's a relationship or something that you've maybe tried in the past, something that you've stepped into, but like something that's just felt like it's a lost cause, and actually saying yes to kind of hold it again is like opening you up to a whole new realm of disappointment and risk and all of that kind of stuff. And so that part of you that needs strength and courage is actually just to say, God, I want to hold that again. And the second thing was for parents in the room, that maybe for some of you that's actually how you feel about your kids and their life with Jesus, that it's a bit of a lost cause, and that actually there's an invitation from God for us to intercede again in a way that's not momentary, but that's actually a lifetime. It's years of contending, pestering heaven for him to move for our kids or our grandkids. And so just the guys are going to lead us in this song, and I'd love you to just sing that over yourself as a declaration, an invitation. God, make me brave enough to hold this again. Make me brave enough to step into this again. Make me brave enough to ask you again for the things that I haven't yet seen, and to lay hold of it, not just for now, but actually for our lives. So will you guys, let me pray and you can lead us into that. Lord, we long for you to make us brave. Brave enough to say yes to the things that scare the life out of us. Lord, I pray that you would reverse that right now, that these things would scare life into us. That as we step towards old disappointments, things that have broken us in the past, unfinished things that we thought that you said, Lord, I pray right now that you would cause life and faith and courage to rise again in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I pray for lost causes right now, and we just say right now in Jesus' name, there are no lost causes. I speak over business initiatives, relational things, that there are no lost causes. I speak to prodigals, I say no lost causes. Come, Father, let courage rise again in our hearts, we pray. Make us brave, God. Lord, I pray that we would lead lives that require bravery. I pray that our faith would be the kind of faith that requires us to be brave. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Two super simple, really simple next steps. Just pray for hunger. And show up on Wednesday. It's really simple. Pray for hunger and show up on Wednesday. And I know some of you will have work commitments and all those kinds of things. So don't be panicking. There's nothing super magical about that. It's just a corporate moment for us to say, God, we're here, and we come expecting to meet with you. So thanks so much for being with us. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. See you soon.